Our next reader is Sarah Marie Ortiz, Pueblo of Acoma, graduated from the Institute of American Indian Arts and Antioch University Los Angeles' MFA program with a focus in creative nonfiction. She has formerly studied law, indigenous education, global self-determination in indigenous communities, radio, theater, and film. She has been presenting her creative work nationally and internationally for over 15 years and has published work in the Kenyon Review, Plowshares, Sentence, and Fulcrum. She is the author of Red Milk and is currently at work on her second collection, Savage, A Love Story. She lives in Burien, Washington. Please welcome Sarah Marie Ortiz.
Hi, everybody. This is so cool. I love this space. I really, really love it. I feel so lucky to live in this community. From New Mexico, Pueblo of Acoma, as Natalie said, and I'm a long way from the center of my Pueblo universe, but it's truly an honor to work in such a vibrant and diverse community. I work in the South End, live and dream and shit in the South End, and so it's a little bit different than Capitol Hill. And displacement is a huge hot topic in our area and throughout Washington State, particularly King County. I'm a bureaucrat most days, a bureaucrat poet. Anybody know anything about that? I have had many blessings, many, many blessings in my life, and so I don't take that for granted. I don't take it lightly. The journey that's brought me here to be with my relatives, literally blood relatives here, and colleagues and friends and loved ones who have supported me in my journey as a writer, as a lover, as a community organizer, a grassroots activist, an educator, a scholar, and nothing is guaranteed. So I just feel so, so, so happy, especially to be with so many loved ones who have peopled my journey from IAIA. You've heard a lot of honor songs for IAIA tonight, and that's not an accident and it's not a coincidence. If you haven't been to Santa Fe, if you haven't been to the web space where IAIA lives, just to explore a little bit about the mission and vision of the institution, the history there, federally chartered and just loved and ushered into the future in the way that it has been, supported so many indigenous luminaries. And just a few of them, those indigenous hearts and minds are here tonight, but we're but a few in a long, long lineage. So I definitely encourage you to learn more about the Institute of American Indian Arts. I am gonna share some poetry, but there are so many initiatives and so many things that I'm a part of in this community. And so I definitely wanted to just be honest about even the way my day has been. I'm coming to you from a gathering of our district administrators and staff. I work in Highline Public Schools. I manage our federal program that serves our American Indian and Alaska Native students and families. I am but one voice in a system of thousands of staff and leaders who is like the main proponent of our Native students and families. We have about 330 enrolled students in our Native education program, and we have two staff members who serve all of those enrolled students. We have thousands of Native education programs all across the United States serving members and descendants of our sovereign tribal nations, and they're either understaffed, or there are no staff, there's lots of turnover, and our Native students are being failed right and left. So it's, again, no accident, no coincidence that I'm in the work that I'm in. I bring my poet creativity, I bring my often breaking heart, all my words, and do my very best to fight every single day for our Native students and our Native communities, not just in the U.S., but beyond. We're so lucky. If you've been to Burien, if you've been to Seattle, you've at least been through Burien and SeaTac. SeaTac is one of the municipalities that we serve in Highline Public Schools. And our communities, our indigenous peoples who are living in our district from south of the border and north of the border and from all across the globe, They're beautiful and amazing and brilliant, and their rights and lives need to be honored in a way that they're not right now. And I truly believe that it's the work of the artists, the poets, those who work every day with a creative vision, a spirit, even a wildness and an insanity. It's gonna be those who actually serve our communities in the fullest and most courageous way. So support your arts, especially in the South End. I know that's, we love Capitol Hill, we love those centers. Thank you so fucking much, Poetry Foundation and Hugo House and Fred, but we need more venues in the South End. South King County is wildly diverse and lots of low-income families, and we need more good, rich, immersive arts experiences there. So if you support the arts, do what you need to make sure that there's more happening in the South End. We just had our Highline Indigenous Peoples celebration at the Highline Performing Arts Center. Went really, really well, stressful as fuck, but it was really beautiful. I'm so happy and so proud that so many of our Native artists, Red Eagle Soaring, Longhouse Media, so many people wrapped their arms around me personally, but also our Native community in South King County. And please know that I'm here in this community, and I'm here as a resource to you. If you're interested in knowing more about the Native arts community here, specifically the literary community, we established and we still have to host another gathering, the Northwest Native Writers Circle, but host a number of events throughout the year that really celebrate and honor our Native peoples, our literary traditions, our Indigenous knowledge systems. Please connect with me. I'm very accessible on social media, and definitely go to our website, highlineschools.org/native program, and learn what we do to serve our Native students in Highline. I'm gonna start with a piece that somewhat incantatory. I wrote it when I was just a baby writer at IAIA, 18 years of age, super fucking scared, the mother of a little girl. I gave birth to her at 14, and I started in tribal college, pretty much right out of high school, and just not knowing what was gonna happen, not knowing if anybody would publish me or support me in my academic journey. And I share that every day with the students that I work with, and that's an honor, just because I think I need to be as honest with them as possible about, you know, the journey to higher education and whatever you study, the arts or science or whatever it is. It's a meandering journey for sure, and there are lots of wolves and potholes, and mine definitely was. So it's not lost on me that I'm even standing here today, because especially growing up in New Mexico, there was a target on my forehead. So to write, to love, to fight in the way that I have, again, it wasn't guaranteed. And a lot of the writing speaks of a loss, a personal and a collective loss, and a lot of pain. And so I'm not necessarily the funnest poet in that way, but what I write is true, so know that. This piece is called Ceremony. Way-ya-hey-ya-hey-ya. Way-ya-hey-ya-hey. Way-ya-hey-ya-hey-ya. Way ya hey, ya hey. Morning has come, and the brown children of the earth open their eyes to greet her. Morning has come, and the brown children of the earth open their arms to embrace her. Morning has come, and the brown children of the earth open their mouths to sing for her. Morning has come, and the brown children of the earth take knives to their skin to bleed for her. Morning has come, and the brown children of the earth take shovels to their eyes and plant seeds for her. Morning has come, and the brown children of the earth cover their heads with red paint and build fires with the bodies of their brothers, for the night will soon be here. Way ya hey ya. Way ya hey. Way ya hey ya hey ya. Way ya hey ya hey. And I also want to say thank you to those friends, those in the community who serve our Native people every day. A lot of it thankless, a lot of it underfunded, understaffed as well. In the health community, the Seattle Indian Health Board, if you haven't visited the Pearl Warren building in the older space at PAC Tower, we have dozens and dozens of Native people who are doing some truly difficult work. But Marvin Oliver, who's a good friend of Jen Foester, also one of the curators of this event. I'm just really happy to see him and others who are in this community every day supporting our Native people. I wanted to share just a short piece from a collection. It's the 10th anniversary. One of our most prominent journals that specifically centers and celebrates our Indigenous writers, the Yellow Medicine Review. A number of writers this evening have published in the Yellow Medicine Review. and I just encourage you to seek out those journals that specifically do that work. As Us was mentioned, Red Ink out of Arizona, they are phenomenal and they work hard. I was gonna read a piece from that out of the book. I'm actually gonna read it off my phone, and I hate when people do that, so you guys forgive me for reading off my phone. But if anybody sees Bojan, kick his ass for me, because I never got my contributor's copy. So that's why I'm going to read it off my phone. But yeah, so the ask for this was actually a reprint. This piece was published, it has been published in a couple different places. But instead of reading the piece that's actually published in here, Judy Wilson, she actually asked us to basically just send along some language about why we write. And this is what I wrote. I write in order to reorder and reillumine my Indigenous present, past, and possible future. Nothing makes sense to me until I write it. This being a process of both putting text to page and ordering the song lyric language in my brain too. It doesn't always make sense after I write it, but that's okay too. I write in order to cauterize things in my heart and mind. Story does this. It burns apart and mends at the same time, I think. I think there's ultimate good and ubiquitous, though not always pleasant, healing present in this process. But one must be very careful when enduring it and bearing witness. It's easy to miss the best parts. I write in order to sing a new song of 21st century indigeneity. Indigenous personhood, nationhood, love, loss, and life. We've had our poets, orators, music makers, politicians, and mad men and mad women who've survived and sung, rendered our lives through time, but they've never sung it quite like this. I might get the tune all wrong. That's okay. Dying, laughing a bit, and planting a little garden in the trying, hands all caked with earth, it will have been worth it. And I'm gonna read, just a short piece. One of the pieces published in Red Ink, and I do encourage you to seek out Red Ink, because I say this a lot, that I'm but one voice in a beautiful, mad, vast, complex symphony of Indigenous voice, and more arising all the time. We have so many phenomenal Native writers working today. So seek out the community. It's pretty incredible. And I like that there's been a pretty contentious subject too. Sherman Alexie is my heart. I mean, fucking love him. He's a relative, he's great. But, and he keeps us on our toes because he makes us hate him sometimes. Like, really hate him. I wanna punch him. Like, Right in the butt. But he said recently, I can't remember if it was on a podcast or what it was, that there are no other like good fiction writers working today. And it was, oh my goodness, it like went out across the wire and people were like pissed, and they're going to be pissed at him for a long time. And it's not true. It's absolutely not true. We have so many emerging writers. Yeah, get at us and we'll tell you. We'll send you the list, probably a longer list than you want. So I'm going to really bring it down now. This will be the last piece that I read, but I think it's important. This was written from a time just trying to make sense in my own heart and mind. Misty Yupam, the Blackfeet Nation, but living out at Muckleshoot at the time, suffered from some pretty severe mental illness and ended up dying. And some say took her own life, some say killed by the cops. The Muckleshoot, the Auburn police, that they didn't do their due diligence in saving her life and keeping her safe. And she's one of many Indigenous women who that's the narrative. And so I had to write to that in some way. American beauty. Efflorescence somehow. I have just gone and returned from Alaska. It is mid-autumn and will be winter soon. Seattle still being a not quite home, but like many Native people before me, gone far from home to this gritty city or that one, who have known nearly being gutted alive by the feeling and survived. It is close. I will make it mine and holy enough somehow. I would return thinking of all of them and their bodies, their eyes and their young, tired hearts. Blackfeet, Navajo, Coast Salish, Ojibwe, Yupik, Pueblo, battle hewn, dam flight. Always has that effect on me. I was still young too, but the feeling was fading. The memories going obediently the same way like I had asked them to. That young, pretty Blackfeet actress of my same age. They found her 3 days ago at the bottom of a deep ravine on the Muckleshoot Res, about 20 minutes south of the little spot of earth I call home now. They say she had lost touch, that she was running from the cops. No light, no light, none, slipped and fell. And I felt the same familiar, barely there sting come with its faithful companion, the normal and now too comfortable dull ache, language like, she is gone. I am still here. More will go missing tonight. I hope it is not my daughter. Spectral. I am thinking of the boys of the 1491s on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I have no box, no box really, to place the storied memory, the encounter of Migazee being yelled at by a young, angry white woman, a Redskins fan, on a beautiful September day. I have marveled, and often, at our survival, at our being alive, at the language of being alive to live and love at all. I think perhaps this is the fertile garden where her anger stems from first. She who does not know him, she who does not know me, she who does not know any of us, or our children, or the ancestors who fought so hard to bring us forth. In too many American hearts, even Indigenous ones, it is believed and felt deeply a language like, this isn't the way the movie was supposed to go. The Indians were supposed to lose. Thank you.